I can find a button.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Super Bowl Sunday. As I recollect, I had the same privilege a few years back. Super Bowl Sunday. The only big difference was that game started earlier in the afternoon, and I thought we might have a disappearance of most males at a given time flash, but it didn't happen. Today's game is much later in the afternoon, so relax, you'll get home in good time. The Lord be praised. No, it's just a game. It's just a game. But just think how excited and serious people are about this. Let's be that and much more excited about the true reality. Every day, yes, and be fired with the holy zeal of God I don't want to say compel in the sense that we're forced, but to life us, to invigorate us to the excellence that is in our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still on my particular theme concerning the five words that we considered several weeks back, primarily reading a quantity of scripture. But I'd like to pursue the same theme today, remembering particularly these five words, that we are to grow in grace, number one, we are to grow in knowledge, number two, we're to grow in love, number three, we are to grow in hope, number four, and we're to grow in godliness. And as we read these scriptures several weeks ago, or with regard to these words, we also discovered that we're not only to grow in them, but we are to increase. And we are to abound. It's almost as though God is giving us a little holy grammar here in the assertive, in the comparative, and in the superlative. And may we have that experience of grace in this year. It's still the first month of the year. And even though all our resolutions and what have you may have a few dents and scrapes and tarnishes on them, let's give ourselves to excellence. It's a choice, saints. It's a privilege that we have. And it's a matter of distinguishing between what is good, what is better, and what is best. And may we make that holy choice to pursue excellence and see how wonderfully the Holy Spirit works the word and the ways of God in our life to the glory of His great name and to the blessing of all humanity and to the extension of God's kingdom in all the earth. I believe we can all say amen to that. That's our heart's desire. And in reality, it's not the great struggle on our part. See, when we consider that the ways in which our faculties are employed, they're going to be employed in one way or another. And it's not that much more difficult to pursue the excellence of the ways of the Lord than it is to allow ourselves to fall in at some lower level. Need I say that we all have the privilege of choice between pursuing that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit of the living God? One tends to produce death and the other tends to produce life. And Paul challenged young Timothy saying, lay hold of the eternal life. Lay hold. That's a very deliberate term. And we want to make that kind of a choice and see the enabling and uplift and, and blessing of the Holy Spirit fall on each of us and as a body, and see the glory of God manifest in our midst and the glory of God extended through His church into all the world. I have three very simple scriptures I want to draw our attention to this morning, and you'll forgive me for such simplicity, such elementary material. But in regard to the things that we're considering, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Any sermon worth preaching has got to start in Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, even the Holy Book uses some rough, tough words, doesn't it? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is there a possibility then that we not redeem the time? That we just let it slip by willy-nilly, not having made any effort on our part to pursue that which is godly? It can happen so easily. The pressures of the age, the spirit of this world, the conniving cunning of the devil, all stand in opposition to what God is pursuing in our life. And so we're challenged to make choices in the will of God and by the ability that he gives. Okay, verse 16 again. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word understand here is interesting. It means not just to comprehend with the mind, but it means to put together in the mind things that belong together. You know, for things to synthesize together. And that in recognizing what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So just in a few words, the scripture tells us what the ongoing, continuing, overruling will of God is. That is, that we keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not once in a lifetime kind of encounter with the Lord, but a continuity of receiving bountifully what God so graciously and liberally extends to us. Be filled, or be being filled with the Spirit is an actual translation. Now, here's the crux. Some of us are more talkative than others, but in reality, our brains are about equally active. Some of us are just a little more expressive in what's going on in our brain. Our brain's not still. There's always something going on inside our cranium. Now here's what the directive of the Lord is. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now here's the essence of simplicity. You want to walk in the blessing of the Lord? You want to grow in grace and knowledge and love and hope and godliness? This is the point of origin. Talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. Let your head hear what your heart knows to be the eternal truth of God. Let the overflow of your spirit just fall upon your mind, your understanding. And let the Spirit of God then take the truth of God that you embrace, that you believe, and that you confess with your mouth, that you proclaim to yourself in the name of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work the word of the Lord in your life continually. Last time we were together, we looked at Isaiah chapter 40 about the prophetic annunciation, comfort ye my people, and so on. Then farther on, Isaiah said, Lord, what shall I say? And God said, proclaim, all fresh flesh is as grass, and man will fade away as the flower of the grass, but the word of the Lord abides forever. That's where we want to park, so to speak. That's where we want to land. And then as we continue to express, and we're going to see from another very common scripture in just a few moments, how significant it is for us to be talking. More particularly, preaching. Better said, proclaiming. Now, we don't want to be too obvious in muttering to ourselves, lest the boys in the paddy wagon and the little white coats come looking for us. But even though we are to stimulate one another, we're to speak and sing to one another the truth of God. It's not out of order to realize what a blessing the Lord has provided for us in challenging us to proclaim the truth of the Lord to ourselves. See, what kind of monsters do each of us have to deal with on an ongoing day-to-day basis? You know, what kind of doubts do we wrestle with? What kind of questions? What kind of judgments? What kind of guilts? What kind of awareness of our humanity and our frailty and our weaknesses and our shortfall do we have to wrestle with? And how easy it is for those things to accumulate and to bury us with judgment. What is God's countering provision for us? Talk to yourself what God says. Proclaim the truth of the Lord to yourself. And allow the Holy Spirit to take that word and make it a practical, ongoing reality that will take you from blessing to blessing to blessing, from glory to glory to glory in the things of God. Not because of our intense rigor, but because we have allied ourselves with the truth of God and we've stepped into God's river, and God's river is carrying us in the beauty of His provision and love and care for us. Speaking to one another in psalm. Now, what's a psalm? A psalm is verse set to music, poetry set to music. A hymn is particularly a song, not necessarily a psalm. Very little difference there, actually. A hymn is a song of praise to the Lord. A spiritual song is simply an ode, and of course we have that word transposed directly into our own language, but it's a particular kind of ode. It's a spiritual ode, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, while we look at this phrase from Ephesians, we see the joy factor that is particularly prominent here. You know, just allowing the Holy Spirit to well up in us in a sad and broken and really despairing world, that the joy of the Lord will carry us. And being thankful, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that we're so familiar with these scriptures, but again, allow the word of the Lord to stimulate us, to give us hope, to emphasize again what the way of the Lord is in order that we might experience the bounty of his blessings. Okay, let's go on to Colossians chapter 3, where we have a similar scripture. The major difference in Colossians 3 is the focus, and we'll see this in just a moment. Okay, Colossians 3 at verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, all things being well, concerning the Super Bowl, there will be some umpires on the field, and they are going to render decisions. Now, that very same word is used here in Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God umpire your hearts. Make the decisions, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And again here, the matter of gratitude is being focused on. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Now here's the difference between Ephesians and Colossians in this regard. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a beautiful choice. But when we're tempted to fall in with the oaths of this world and all of the hopelessness and all of the evil and the corruption and the violence and the perversion and uncleanness that is bombarding us day to day, moment by moment, what a beautiful privilege to decide to lock in on God's provision and find our souls and our hearts cleansed and inspired and filled with joy. Now in the Colossian church here, the emphasis is on teaching or the impartation of information and admonition. Very important word in the Bible. To admonish means to adjust the mind. To admonish means that we are directed back onto the rails, so to speak, of God's order, God's provision for our life. And so when this word is used, it speaks particularly of an adjustment in our thinking from where we have strayed to bring us back on the rails, as it were, of the provisions of the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another, again, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, I don't know that we ought to be too voluminous in this regard, because someone might check the quality of our of our melodious production. But notice that the scripture says that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. So when the opinions of this world are crashing around you, make a choice. Say, Lord, I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to sing what your singing describes in the word of the Lord. I'm going to rejoice with you. I'm going to allow the grace that you provide and extend to me to carry my life. I'm going to sing to you with grace in my heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now another very common scripture, and this is a part that I want to emphasize particularly because of the significance of one particular word. This is Romans chapter 10. Again, such very common scripture. Let's cut in at verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word, the rhema, the living, speaking word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of the faith which we preach. Now that word there is proclaim. That's the word describing the town crier of ancient cultures that came to the community by the command of the king to declare to the community the edicts of the king with such sincerity, such severity, such gravity, such authority that must be heard and obeyed. Now, if God puts living words in our mouth, and God's word cannot return to him void, but God's word shall perform that which he desires, what happens when we speak the living word of God that the Spirit of God has put into our own mouth, when we speak to that word, when we speak that word to our own heart and our own mind? We can conquer a lot of the monsters that the devil would send after us. Again, many of them coming through our own flesh, through our fears, through our judgments, through our guilts, through our strugglings and what have you. And God has an answer for us. God has a provision for us. God still gives us beauty for our ashes. He still gives us the oil of joy for our mourning. He still gives us the spirit of praise for our heaviness. For we are the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What does the word say? The word that God put into your mouth. Speak it. Preach to yourself. You know, we might think, well, I am not called to preach, but you can preach to the audience of one. Proclaim with such conviction, such gravity, such sincerity, such authority, as in truth is conveyed by the Spirit of the living God, and let your head hear what your heart knows to be the truth. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The word of the faith which we preach. Because if you proclaim, that's my version of the word, confess, with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How clear, how simple, how effective. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Confessing the Lordship of Jesus with my mouth is my responsibility. Saving me is God's responsibility. If I open the door to acknowledge the truth that eternally is and cannot change, namely that Jesus Christ is Lord, then the door of our being is open for God's salvation to be activated. How beautiful that rich and wonderful word is. For it means to be delivered, to be redeemed, to be preserved, to be protected, to be made whole and well and sound and complete in your total person, spirit, soul, and body, both now and forever. You didn't think all that could be in one word. But that's how rich the truth of God is. If I acknowledge and say with my mouth what is, namely that Jesus is Lord, I have opened the door for God's redemptive grace to do in me what I cannot do for myself, to save me, to redeem me, to deliver me, to preserve me, to make me whole and well and sound and complete. Are you still seeing a few rough edges in your life? Still a little imperfection here and there? Still a thought that drifts through your mind that you wish didn't come? Let God fix it. You acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus, God does the saving. Praise the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you know, something wonderful happens when we acknowledge the eternal truth of the Lordship of Jesus, namely that He is Lord and that will never change. Something beautiful happens. Faith rises up in your heart. Faith. See, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the rhema of God. When I proclaim the rhema of God with regard to my own life, faith wells up in my spirit. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. The ability to hear comes by the rhema of God. Now, when I speak that rhema, something happens in my spirit that is not the product of my humanity. It is the gift of God. It's all so simple. And the saving happens, not because of my mental gymnastics, but because I've aligned myself with the eternal reality of God. And that has set the stage for the Spirit of God to do precisely what His Word declares that He will do in our life. My Word will not return to me void, Isaiah says in chapter 55. And sometimes that Word comes down just as softly and gently as the falling snowflake. Have you ever been in a place where the snowflakes are like the size of little hands almost? Just really huge flakes. And the air is so still, and the falling snow muffles every sound, it becomes so quiet. God says, my thoughts come down like the snowflakes, as gently as the raindrops. And so as I hear and then speak again that which God gives to me, wonder of wonders, the life of the Spirit of God flows within my soul. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes into Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For everyone or whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, protected, made whole and well and sound and complete. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a proclamation? And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. What's your mouth doing to you? Is it the messenger of ill will? You know, sometimes we are our own worst critics. Sometimes we are the ones who beset ourselves with bondages that are the product of our own imaginations. How easy it is, because we see our frailties and our weakness and our shortfall and the issues that we're not dealing with us as well as we feel we should, and we fall under condemnation. The word of the Lord says that the messenger of God has the good news of peace. The messenger of God brings glad tidings of good things. Now, some of us may have been raised on the bad news of the gospel. You know, don't do this, don't do that. You don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't run with those that do. That was about the extent of it. But the word of the Lord says, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Let your happy heart that is made happy by singing the song of the Lord spill over and flood your mind, your emotions, your feeling, your reasoning, your understanding with the glad tidings of the good things of His grace. Guess what's going to happen? You will grow in grace. You will grow in knowledge. You will grow in love. You will grow in hope. You will grow in godliness. You will increase. You will abound. Not by struggle, but because you've planted the seeds of God in the garden of God, and they bear fruit to eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read on several more verses here, and we're